sind gute Show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers. Hey, everybody, this is Never Seen It. I am your host, Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and we read them for you here in studio. Today, I am joined by Ryan Singer, everyone.
Hello, hello. Hello. That was such a, like, you had, like, a very NPR intro there. That's great. Like, I just remembered you being more boisterous before. This is great. Oh, you did a great job. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thanks. And we're also joined by Ryan County. Ryan, as well.
Hi. Yeah, you did. You totally changed when they hit record.
I'm trying to be consistent with the introductions because normally people make fun of me for how it's going, but it turns out that's still going to happen.
Yeah. Sorry, but I didn't mean to make you self-conscious.
There's something very uncomfortable about doing any professional thing in front of other comedians, even though we all know how it works all of the time. It's like, what am I supposed to do?
But you relaxed me.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm also trying.
I'm a little on edge because you were a completely different person, different cadence, different everything, and then you hit record. I don't know who you are now.
Yeah, I understand.
All right.
I don't have a solution for it. I don't know what it is, but I'll probably energize up. I'm trying to get better and more consistent about the intro, the outro, because I have things I want to say, and normally I get all riled up and excited, and so instead I'm not doing it. And then also, like, introducing the segments and stuff. We get feedback, like, what segment was that? And you should remember to tell us what you're doing and what's happening. You know, general feedback.
Yeah, general feedback.
Haptic feedback.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. People want to, like, when they're having the water cooler talk, they want to be able to, like, oh, did you hear the blah, blah, blah game.
Yeah, our demographic is people who work where there are still water coolers.
Yes.
Water cooler factories?
Yeah, we're always water cooler factories, anywhere that only shows replays of Friends, so people have something to talk about. That's where the...
You know, there's pretty much a water cooler everywhere you go,
there's one...
I'm new to California.
Not in this room.
Oh, okay.
In New York, there's no water coolers. You need a little passcode to get to the water cooler.
Well, now they've got like hot water that comes out of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty fancy.
I always wonder how that does that so fast.
I don't know either. I've never even thought about it.
I've just been consuming it.
It's, you just drink straight up hot water?
No, but at my job, I'll make soups or something. We don't have like a stove to boil water.
I want no information about what your job is or what's going on with it. But, you know, at my job, we'll make some soups.
I just imagine him like putting it like a salt packet into a bowl of hot water, and that's soup.
Soup.
Yeah. Have you considered for your intros just doing like the one recording and then just swapping out the
name? You know what's crazy? We have intro music.
Really?
So this isn't even the intro. This is just part of it now.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were just still kind of warming up.
No. I don't know. We usually edit these down to 6 minutes total.
Okay.
Trying to give people...
The whole podcast?
I like to give people bite-sized morsels of content that they can consume at their leisure.
Well, there are people who listen to podcasts on like twice or three times the speed.
What?
Yeah, there's people who listen. So they'll just put the speed like times two or times three. So
that's
like
insane.
Listening to this so they can listen to more podcasts. Isn't that great?
That's insane.
How can I get more of this, but also it be worse?
Right?
That seems...
I'm going to start a podcast that's specifically at a slower tempo.
So when they try
and hit times two, it's like just regular voice.
It's just regular speed, and they think they're at the Apple store screaming about how their phone's broken. We got some wonderful feedback before we get into anything from someone who apparently we had a bumper for our show running on a different podcast, and it woke him up, and he just called me a piece of shit over and over again. He emailed me. He found my website and emailed me to say I'm a piece of shit who woke him. What, are you just falling asleep? Listen, and how did I wake you up? Maybe that's what... See, now I'm getting riled up. Now we're getting Riley Kylie.
Well, it's funny because I have gotten feedback on from people on my podcast that it's a great podcast to fall asleep to.
Yeah, is that good feedback?
They assure me that it's a compliment. I'm not so sure.
You have a soothing voice.
Yeah, and there's also like meditation music that plays the whole time. And I'm also like, you know, counting backwards from 10 a lot.
And also, most of the podcast is just me listening to that other podcast you're supposed to fall asleep to. And so it's me doing director's
Jeff
commentary.
Bridges. Remember when Jeff Bridges had his, like, spoken... Oh, anyway, we don't have to talk about Jeff Bridges.
So we do have... Since we had a little bit of a... We had a brief break of no dad audio game, but we're going to... We play a game here, and Ryan 1 has never played it before. You'll be Ryan 2, Ryan Singer.
Okay.
And Ryan County will be Ryan 1.
Can we go 2 and 3?
Yeah, you can. You'll be 2, and Ryan Singer will be 3.
Okay,
are you cool with that?
I'm cool with that.
So Ryan 2, we play a game called "Guess What Movie Trailer My Dad Is Describing," based on having only watched the trailer and never having heard of the movie. Okay. And so how it works is my dad sees there's a movie trailer. He has a description of it, and he reads that description, and you have to guess what it's for. And he's never heard of the movie. He doesn't know what it is. He's only seen the trailer. Okay. And so we're going to just play a quick clip of it now, and we'll get. This is the last thing we're going to do at the very end. So here's a quick clip.
Okay, so the gun was actually pretty loud. That's not a silencer. Okay.
So let that mull over throughout the episode and see if you can guess what that is.
And it's any movie from any time period.
Anytime we get feedback on the game, I realize how insane it is.
It's so funny, like, the way he says that. It's like, you know, as if he was describing, yeah, it's a horse that hasn't had its legs cut off.
But if you see the movie trailer, you know what he's describing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is last episode... Maybe not last, whenever, I don't know when this will come. Noah Gardensworth's episode, he guessed it off that.
Right off the bat?
And really? Did it ruin the episode? It ruined the episode. It was Social Network, and I think the clip was like, okay, there's a lot of faces. And Noah goes, oh, the Social Network? Like, how recently did you watch that trailer?
Oh, yeah, how is that on the top of your brain?
Faces, Facebook, word association, maybe?
Okay, well, okay. Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Wow. Maybe he would have guessed it, too.
I took a couple courses in psychology.
I know, like, I have no dozens of words just off the top of my head. So we're going to get it right into your script. The script that you, Ryan 3, Ryan Singer, rewrote is The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Never seen The Wolf of Wall Street.
Never seen The Wolf of Wall Street. So I wrote this basically on what, you know, I was in the zeitgeist out there that I figured this movie was about.
Do you, any other Scorsese things you have seen?
Yes. I mean, I loved Goodfellas. My dad made me watch Goodfellas when I was very young. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, the Beatles and De Niro. This is what you need to know to be a man. Right? So I loved Goodfellas, Raging Bull. You know, a fan of The Departed was good. A lot of, like, you know, death.
Any particular reason for avoiding this one?
You know what? I don't know. I think I was burned out on, like, the idea of Wall Street in general.
Sure.
For the last 10 years.
I guess, did this come out right around when the Occupy Wall Street and everything like that was happening?
Yeah,
and they were
like,
actually,
hippie.
These guys are super hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I was a dirty hippie in that, so that may have played into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, I don't need to see another
They
Wall
glamorize
thing.
It, too, right?
They really kinda, do glamorize it. There's something weird and different to glamorizing someone who creates financial ruin versus someone who, like, fights. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I see. I thought this was like, you know, like a retro, not a retro, like a time piece. Like,
yeah,
it was like back in the 80s or something.
We'll talk about it after the,
okay, cool.
That scene. So let's get through the characters here so everyone knows who's who.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah.
So I just start reading, right?
Well, Ryan will be doing the stage directions.
I'll be doing the stage direction and... Okay.
And who will you be playing? If you want,
I'll be playing Stock Guy 2 and Scammer.
All right, and Ryan 2?
I am Cleo and Chris. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I'll be playing Stock Boy 1 and Gargar. All right, this is Wolf of Wall Street by Ryan Singer.
Fade in. We see whiteness. Slowly, and I mean very slowly, like almost too slow to be worth it. The camera begins to pull back, and we see the whiteness is inside of a dark cave. No, wait. It pulls back further, and we see it's not a cave, but a nostril. We pull back even further to notice that the whiteness inside the nostril is in the nose on the face of a man. We see the undulating, sped-up breaths of this man pulsating the white powdery cloud inside his nasal hideaway with his ever-increasing heartbeat. But the camera isn't done pulling back. It pulls back a bit further still, and now we see this is all in the reflection of a tiny mirror that this man is doing more cocaine off of at a desk. Wow, this is cool. But also dark. Real dark. Interior. A boiler room in Queens. Night. Ricky Gargar Sugarman. The man from the cold opening stalks dirty aisles of cubicles with a strange hitch in his step. This is the home base of his small army of scam artists and con men cold calling unsuspecting victims. He is Alexander basking in the flickering fluorescent glow of his kingdom of shit as he hand rolls a cigarette, arousing himself with the sound of his own voice.
The telephone, boys! It's the goddamn landline that drills for oil in modern America, while the visionless fucks of yesteryear pan for gold in the forgotten creek beds of an empty mountain. We amass fortunes with junk bonds and junk stocks.
All the scammers and con men cheer.
Woo.
Gargar stops at a desk and dumps out a pile of cocaine. The scammer sitting there instinctually knows that he must chalk up the pile into a huge line for Gargar and a tiny line for himself. Gargar snorts the line like a depraved pig with a deviated septum.
Fuck! Capitalism makes Gargar dick har-har! It's the numbers, man, the fucking numbers. It's the strength of this country's economy and power, but it's also its weakness. It's the numbers!
The scammer snorts his tiny line and cheers.
Yes, the numbers, boss!
Gargar grabs the scammer by the collar and almost devours his face.
Now sell some fucking junk before I screw your eyes out.
Gargar licks his open eyes and walks over to a chalkboard with a crudely drawn graph that is ascending from $0 upward toward the word billions. Gargar caresses the board and rubs his fingers onto his gums.
Cocaine chalk is the elixir of the gods. Sell my junk, you scum. Sell it to the world. Soon enough, no one will be able to stand in my way.
Interior, studio apartment in Astoria. Day. Chris Howard is reading Howard Zinn's The People's History of the United States.
Is his last name just almost the word Howard that you typed?
Yeah. He's sipping green tea from a world's greatest boyfriend coffee mug. The phone rings. Ring.
Hello. Mr. Howard?
It's just going to be you back and forth.
Yes. You've been hired. You start tonight, right before midnight. Don't be late.
She hangs up. Chris jumps up and starts dancing with a mop. He spins around and then sees his calendar on the wall. Friday is circled in thick red marker with an arrow pointing at it, accompanied by the words, full moon. He stops. His joy melts into fear. He looks into his open palms that are empty and trembling.
I won't be the monster, not again!
He runs over to his nightstand. He grabs a framed picture of him embracing a beautiful Cleo. He kisses it too passionately.
I'm sorry, Rebecca. I was only trying to protect you. Forgive me, please.
Interior, New York Stock Exchange floor, evening. The floor is bustling with suits and douchebag stock boys waving tiny sheets of paper, yelling exclamations of gibberish with crooked ties and damp pits.
Sell! Sell! Bring it up!
Bye, bye! Bring it sideways! Rip, sup, clap!
Stack, whack, back! Fitbit, trip!
The final trading bell. It really captures the stock floor, right? The final trading bell rings loudly, and every suit and stock boy becomes dead silent like the gods of finances muted the world.
Something seems weird about the final numbers.
There's no telling what happens next, but it's probably too late for us to do anything about it. Happy hour?
Sure, half price X!
Woo!
Interior, studio apartment in Astoria night. Chris is standing in front of his bathroom mirror, checking his eyelids.
It's weird because you don't stare at both of your eyes in the mirror. You have to pick one. You're not going crazy. You're not going crazy. You're not going crazy.
Chris starts dry shaving his face with no cream.
See? A crazy person wouldn't know they're crazy.
He checks his watch and realizes he's going to be late. He rushes out. Interior, a boiler room in Queens, night. Gargar sits at his desk with his stupid feet resting on top of it. They are stupid because he has two left feet, and it's probably what drove him toward his current evil state today.
Stupid feet.
He smokes a hand-rolled cigarette and has cocaine powder on his stubbled upper lip.
Where's the goddamn cleaner?
A young woman, Cleo, wearing a tube-top dress and high heels with goldfish in them, brings Gargar a glass of booze. She puts it on the table and sits on his lap.
Why don't you just relax, big fella? Have a drink of this to take the edge off. I hired a guy today, and he should be here any minute.
You hired him, huh?
Yeah, I sure did.
I don't have to worry about this guy, do I?
I don't want you worrying about anything. He's a loner. No family. No friends. No one to miss him. A real coward. Hell, it's in his name.
Good. Tonight's the night we do our final move, and then we take over the financial world.
There's no telling how far, far Gargar can go after tonight.
Forgive me, God. Gargar pours out a giant line of cocaine onto his neck, and Cleo snorts it up like she's been underwater after a car careened off a bridge and had to break her way out of the driver's side window, finally making her way out of the car into the water surface to gasp for air. Exterior.
Hold on. Before we go, I want to talk about how incredible the descriptions are and how sometimes you just call feet stupid. This is such a long, elaborate description about, like, suffocating emotionally and metaphorically. And then you're like, and then this dumbass with this funny leg. Feet.
You know? Exterior boiler room hallway night. Chris is outside with a mop bucket. He checks his watch. Cleo answers. She is adjusting her tube top dress. Chris's glance is distracted by her shameless jostling of cleavage.
A boonga boonga boong. That's her boobs. Ah, you must be here to get us cleaned up. Follow me, sweetie.
She welcomes him into the boiler room. All of the scammers and con artists are still working the phones.
The world never sleeps. Time zones, you know.
Chris nods. He rests his mop against an empty desk.
I'll find her voice. Just give me a second.
I guess I can get started here.
Cleo pours out a little cocaine onto a desk. She gestures for him to snort it. He hesitates. She dumps a little more out onto her chest.
Maybe I like the dirtier surface. I'd say you start cleaning here.
She moves closer to him. Chris checks his watch. It reads 11:57 p.m. He begins to panic. Gargar suddenly is behind him.
Don't you know it's disrespectful to leave premium cocaine just sitting on a perfect breast? It's the 80s, asshole. This is how we live.
Chris is trapped. He pulls out a dollar bill from his pocket and Gargar grabs his arm by the wrist.
Are you fucking new here? What kind of coward blows dust off a titty with a dollar?
Gargar's lips are on Chris's earlobes and he whispers aggressively as only a true villain can.
Let me see nose to nipple or I'll cut your throat out of your neck.
I'm sorry. I don't do drugs. I don't like who I become, especially on nights like tonight. I told you he was a coward. See? Howard. Is his name. See Howard. See Howard. Is his name. He was born to be a pussy.
After tonight, I'm going to steal all the government's money. Through a junk bond and junk stock scheme.
All the scammers and con men cheer and do cocaine off each other's lips.
Yeah!
Starting tomorrow morning, I'll be the most powerful man alive. It's a corporate takeover of this country, see? All through the murky channels of Wall Street. And I can't have any witnesses, so you're going to have to clean up the evidence here before I get rid of you. I don't know why he got Southern for a brief second. So, you may as well enjoy your last night alive, but maybe I'll spare you if you impress me.
Chris checks his watch. It reads 11:59 p.m. He drops the dollar and moves his face towards Cleo's breast. She buttresses it with her hands, and Chris snorts the cocaine with her nipple going into his nose. She moans. Gargar releases his grip on Chris's arm. Chris starts shaking his head and trying to crack his jaw from side to side.
Here, atta boy!
Feel the drip, baby.
Oh, God.
Chris checks his watch. It reads 12 a.m.
Oh, no. Full moon.
What's that, baby?
She caresses his shoulder and moves in close. Gargar flanks his other side. They are caressing his arms and back and moving their lips to his ears.
Step back, please, please, step back.
Oh, he's a shy baby boy.
I like him shy. No, I'm warning you. Step back.
Gargar grabs him by the neck.
You threaten Gargar, and you end up as Char-Char.
Gargar pulls a switchblade from his pocket, moves it up just underneath Chris's jaw, and releases the blade. Long canine teeth emerge from Chris's jaw at the exact same time.
Oh, what the fuck?
I warned you to step back.
You're an animal!
Chris's eyes turn golden black and his ears start to grow to a point. His chest heaves. He flexes his neck.
He's some sort of freak.
Gargar lets go and backs off. Cleo is frozen in fear and intrigue. Gargar whistles to all the workers. They jump up and pull out switchblades of their own.
You wouldn't hurt me, baby. Let me calm you down.
Chris's chest rips through his shirt and his pants break off as his metamorphosis has gone full Kafka. He rips into her neck like a dog tearing a rope toy. She moans and then it turns into a scream. Blood squirts everywhere and he drops her lifeless body to the ground at the feet of Gargar.
Don't just stand there, boys. Get him! Get him!
All the scammers and con men stutter to attack and then stop, retreating out of the door to escape.
Cowards! Gargar gave you everything!
Chris slowly backs Gargar against a wall. Gargar grabs the bindle of cocaine from Cleo's bra and tries to snort and ingest as much as he can.
What was in this shit? It's not working. Why is it not working?
Chris gets right up on Gargar, who has nowhere else to go, and drops the switchblade to the ground.
I'll give you half. I'll give you 75%. What do you want? Anything? I'll give you anything you want. I'm sorry. Please, just don't.
Chris takes a long sniff around Gargar's neck and mouth, almost nuzzling him.
Fear, my favorite flavor.
No, please. Who are you?
I'm the Wolf of Wall Street.
Chris, now fully transformed into the Wolf of Wall Street, bites and rips Gargar's nose off of his face and swallows it whole.
Ouch.
Equal parts cocaine and blood start to ejaculate from Gargar's face like the fountains at the Bellagio. Chris lifts his body up as to shower the rest of Gargar's cocaine and blood down onto his face and body and bathes in it. Mm. He extends his chest and arms and lets out a hellish wolf howl towards the heavens. Fade out.
And you said you haven't seen it.
Can you believe that?
That is my best guess as to what the Wolf of Wall Street,
just
what
the,
happened.
The difference in how much I can tell you were energized in parts of writing it is incredible. Like when you sat down to write the opening description, this is beautiful. And then it's like some dumbass puts his feet on this nerd. I'm like, okay, I still think the coffee might have faded out here by the end of it.
Yeah, that was like my first coffee I'd had in 4 months when I wrote that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I got all juiced up, you know.
Do you think it's a parallel to the characters doing cocaine to help them?
You know what? Like, there's probably. Definitely a parallel happening there. And it's also, there's a little bit of like wishful thinking on my part. Like, oh man, wouldn't this be fun to like, you know, just be bathed in cocaine and blood from a douchebag.
That's the part you know. That you were like, this is the worst. Oh man, not the financial stability of the job.
Yeah, but
the...
also I remember from the commercials from that movie or from people talking about it was like, oh man, everybody's just, they're doing so much cocaine. It's crazy. Like this is just all a bunch of cocaine.
Yeah, that really is pretty much it.
Yeah. So it was like just a Scorsese movie where originally the Cleo was just named Woman because I was like, well, it's a Scorsese movie. Like, there's not a female right. character that has any personality, right?
Can we make this Mark Wahlberg actually?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if you noted. Like, I mean, I'm not an actor by any means, but I don't know if you could tell, but I've never heard a woman talk. Did it? Could you even tell?
I couldn't tell. You really nailed it. I definitely, because it seemed like there was a real relationship between Chris and Cleo that you had developed through, like, tonally.
I liked that the fact when you had to talk with yourself, you would pause before her lines, like she was checking her phone every time the guy was talking to get her attention.
For real, I get so nervous reading out loud. Yeah. And I feel like Cleo would too. You know?
So it's good that you brought that to this.
Yeah, you brought a little bit of yourself. I think that's what they say every great actor does.
Wow, Chris Howard.
Yeah, see, Howard.
I didn't get the
and
coward part until the end.
If you thought Get Out was a tight script where nothing, no end was left loosened, this man's name spells
Get
Out.
I mean, it was. I mean, like, I love that in movies when like those like old movies where it's just like at the end of it, you're just like, oh yeah. I mean, we knew the whole time because of.
I think for the first 70 years, every bad guy wore a black hat and every good guy wore a white hat in movies.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that's how it works. So that's either that's how little money they had, how unoriginal it was, or how dumb they thought everyone who watched movies were.
I think it was like a lot of the last thing you said.
Yeah.
Where they're like, now we they gotta lay it out for these people. These people gotta know who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. You can't have any murky ground.
Imagine being creative and you want to create movies. And the first, it's like what, 1898? And you have all these ideas for a visual medium. And you're like, okay, I want to create this art, this thing that will last forever. And then someone leaves the first movie showing and they're like, we can't make your movie. They just ran out of the theater because they thought a train was going to run them over. Like, that's how smart the audience is the first time they watched a movie,
that's
they
real,
ran
right?
away. Yeah,
yeah, that's
the
real.
First one was a train coming at the screen and people left. And then they're like, oh, well, we can't make smart movies. Those people thought they were going to die.
Yeah, they went wrong.
And they've been in this building before.
Guess
they
we're
going
to have to film it sideways.
It reminds me of...
Wes Anderson's only seen that movie. That's why everything is very sideways and like symmetrical in his movies.
There's like, whenever I you hear the story about the train in the movie, the first movie thing, like I always... It reminds me of people sit behind home plate at baseball games, and like, and somebody a foul ball comes right at that net,
yeah.
And everybody always just freaks
just
out.
Jumps.
It's just instinct.
Instinct. All
Not
the time.
Me. Yeah. I just step up to it. I step up to the net, and I don't even flinch.
You're, I cut a little hole. Like, raise my hand through the net.
Yeah, you're a psycho.
I need this lawsuit.
And, there's a,
and you also got good tickets if you've been able to sit up
there. I've also never been to a baseball game.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's I got to sit once behind the home plate in New York. And
oh, you did?
I tried to get – they had a men's choir singing the national anthem, and I tried to slide over behind them to get on the Jumbotron, and the guy kept moving the camera away from me as I would slide over behind a little bit more to where eventually the national anthem was playing and we were just looking at a pole. Like, there was, the camera was on nothing.
You are such a
because
massive.
I kept
That's definitely not that cameraman's
sliding.
First day.
No, he was just like,
he deals with like guys like you.
Me. We're the only people, it's close to a game like that, it's mostly people at work and they're all like doing deals and talking. And I was the only person in a baseball shirt. I didn't know that it was like we wear suits.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And we sit close and then.
Because how'd you get the ticket?
Friend's work. He works for a sporting goods company, and so they got the tickets.
Yeah, so, I mean, because, like, when it comes to, like, having those kind of seats, like, I guess a luxury box, or I guess it's not a luxury box, whatever it is, those are, like, expensive. I wish I could sit, like, that close to a baseball game. It's got to be crazy.
Yeah.
Being able to see, like, anyway.
You want to just talk about baseball? We'll just cut out.
We'll just
keep talking about baseball until he gets back. Can I tell you his bit about baseball that's never worked? A stand-up bit?
Wait, are we talking about baseball and cutting this out, or was that you just doing a bit? Well, I don't know when you're doing a bit.
We're not going to cut this. Yeah, that's what people say. You know what's crazy is how many times those words have been the last ones a girl has said to me.
I thought you were going to say, like, that sounded like, that was getting very ominous, like the last face I ever saw.
I don't know if you're doing a bit, and then he pushed me off the Golden Gate Bridge. No, I just thought baseball... They kept saying today that this dude was like flirting with a no hitter, which is so funny.
Oh yeah,
and it's just like, just fuck it. When are you gonna fuck that no hitter?
You delivered that so well. I was always like, who almost had a no hitter today?
But someone did. A Royals guy was pitching pretty well.
Oh really?
They won their first game today, and they won 1-0. That's how bad they needed a guy to almost throw a no hitter to squeak out a win against the worst.
Our
team.
Teams are equally bad because that's exactly what happened to the Reds yesterday.
At least you have a player to watch.
Oh, Votto, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true. But, like, when it comes to, like, the only thing I know about, I do want to see Wolf of Wall Street, but, like, the only thing I know about it is DiCaprio was in it, Scorsese directed it, and there was a bunch of blow in it.
Yeah, he is kind of a guy who starts out, like, trading penny stocks and stuff and somehow finagles it to be making a ton of money because he'll sell, like, a million of something cheap. Which makes people think they're buying less, I guess. I don't know. And it's just high-pressure sales shit. And then eventually he's running this huge stock office, and it's all, like, bullshit Wall Street trading and partying. And it's, like, almost like advantage porn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay,
it's, like, it's so advantageous, and his life is so – it is, like, if the Catch Me If You Can guy got away with it for longer.
Okay.
Or was a worse person. Then he's doing like Quaaludes and stuff, and there's a funny scene where he's tripping with Jonah Hill. And Jonah Hill's really good. I don't know. I think that might have been the beginning of the movie or something.
Did you know that
it's
he...
It's like a bizarre casting call.
Like when it comes to Scorsese films, do you think... Because we were kind of talking about this beforehand, but do you think that there's just kind of like, you know how people will say De Niro and Pacino kind of leaned into who they were as like an actor, and now they just kind of do that? Do you think like Scorsese, almost in the same way, is kind of leaned into Scorsese?
Well, he is directing a movie called The Irishman that's a $200 right. million dollar budget mob movie with De Niro and Pesci and Pacino in it.
Really? No?
Straight to Netflix.
Oh, wow. Like these are the guys that get chosen to play all the different mobsters. Like we once upon a time in America, they played Jewish mobsters. Well, De Niro played a Jewish mobster. Goodfellas. Then there was Goodfellas and Casino. And now, do you think he's going to be the Irishman?
So, and then you watch like Goodfellas, and two of the characters from it, two of the actors from it, were cast in The Sopranos as major parts.
Yeah,
and like Chris Maltisanti and Dr. Melfi were, it was, Dr. Melfi was Ray Liotta's wife, and Maltisanti was the guy that got shot. The kid that worked that was kind of given a hard time to, what's his face? The clown guy. The funny guy. I don't know.
Oh, wait.
There's like 20 Italian actors.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, it's like their own little mafia.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
It's like, we're not in the Actors Guild. We're in the Guild. I did the arm. They can't see it because we're recording.
No, arms,
I did
play
the,
on radio. I,
you know, arms play on radio.
People are like, is he touching his fingers together? Like he's just like, cooked two pastas at once.
I can't remember the
is
guy's
he showing
name.
Showing me the size of meatballs or he and was in that the, it's okay?
What's the guy's name who played Sopranos, like right-hand man? He was also in the E Street Band. And he has a great
I've never
radio
seen
show.
The Sopranos.
He's got a
I've
great
never
radio
seen
show,
Springsteen Live.
Like classic rock and stuff. And I can't believe I can't remember this guy's. Yeah, Stevie Van Zandt. And
Little Stevie Van Zandt.
And
he goes by Lil Zant.
He was so good in The Sopranos. It was unbelievable. He'd just be like, hey, Tone.
Yeah.
Hey, not for nothing. You know,
there's so every time I think like the what is often considered the best example of something is always the first example that can play off of everything else in that genre that exists. This is a broad statement, but like think about The Sopranos. A lot of The Sopranos is almost A lot of The Sopranos is in that Lilyhammer. I've never watched
that.
Because
I like that
the
a
name.
Lot.
The name. I can't watch show Lilyhammer. I can't watch Peaky Blinders because of the name. The name's a but so if you think about like The Sopranos, which is the quintessential mob thing ever. I think it is. It couldn't have existed before Goodfellas and the Godfather movies and Casino and these movies because it lives in such a real grounded world. Those all exist.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's also a generational thing to say that Sopranos is the quintessential mobster thing. It's like if you said that to somebody who's in their, you know, 50s and 60s, they'd be like,
I would not be around like, any old weirdos.
They'd be like, you're crazy to think that the Godfather is not the quintessential.
Yeah. No, you would think the one from Home Alone. You got 10 seconds. What's that movie? Is that a real movie?
It's called like Angels of Hell or Demons of Hell. Remember, it's on the VHS tape when he puts it in. Like Demons of Soulless Hell or some bizarre like noir name
and
like
that. Yeah, it was black and white, so that's got to be at least 30 years old.
You know, I think people, if they're in their 50s, still see in black and white or whatever dogs see.
Yeah,
they
I think,
see
well, you reach a certain age
gray,
and then
gray,
you, know, you start to see, you definitely start to see less of the color spectrum.
That seems very progressive.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. That's why do you think so many
why do you think so many old people are racist?
Yeah,
so
I was going to say conservatives. Oh. But you said racist. You went a little deeper than me. But
we're
a
fair and balanced podcast.
Yeah, this is a fair and balanced. Brought to you by the Sky Network.
What was
Skynet?
Okay. Skynet. I want to. We got a few games and some of them.
Oh, we got to do that script.
And we're going to do another fan script here at the end of the episode. We still don't know what fan script we're going to do. And we're going to play some games here. And we're going to ease through these. We got some of the old ones. We got some of the new ones. The first game that we are going to play is going to be Before and Afters. So I explained it a little bit. We play this one a lot. It's a mashup of two movies or TV shows to create one. We smush the titles together and one of each, blah, blah, blah. So an example was all the male superheroes are called away. So it's up to only female superheroes to save the day. And that would be a Justice League of their own. We understand. Some of them are a little bit more not as literal like that. For instance, like a village under attack from a sin-obsessed serial killer hires a group of samurai to defend them. That is seven samurai.
Oh, okay.
So it's sure, seven sure. and seven samurai. So the theme to all these is Keanu Reeves. So we have three of them. And so one movie in each one will have Keanu Reeves. So we ready?
I believe so.
You can grab instruments, too, if you want to grab an instrument.
I like that boingy thing you had.
Oh, the thunder stick?
You know what? The egg's better. Egg gives me more juice. Oh, that's a little xylophone?
You joking about that? Okay, so the first one.
I'm glad you finally came out of your shell and started getting into puns.
That one's a real mess.
I got the shell. You said, did you mean to?
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm not good at puns.
You're so bad at puns, every time you do get one, you say out loud, I got that one you just said, because it's not a given. All right, number one, Keanu Reeves, theme, before and afters. A legendary assassin who has retired arrives on a small Scottish island to investigate a missing child. He is shocked to observe their frivolous sexual displays and strange pagan rituals and attempts to track down both a missing child and his stolen car.
Oh, man, can I think about it out loud a little bit? I mean,
because no. The best part about podcasts is all the internalized
I definitely
thoughts.
Know.
John
like,
Wicker something. What's that movie?
Oh,
Wicker Man. John Wickerman.
John Wickerman.
Oh!
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Woo! Because Nick Cage was in that. The
yep. Yeah.
Okay, damn, good one.
With all
good
the
one.
Bees?
Good one.
Oh, yeah.
Next one. The final installment in the robotic dystopian tale. Mankind's greatest hope is trapped in a limbo world where he attempts to resist conventional suburbia. It creeps up on him and his wife, though, as they buy a house. He works a job he hates, fending off robots and saving the world. And she yearns for fulfillment and a passion as a 1950s housemaker.
Oh, snip. The because I definitely feel like...
Matrix and the housewife? Is that...
I got it wrong, though. I'm thinking The Burbs, but that's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right. But it's definitely The Matrix.
It's Matrix.
And,
the final installment in the robotic dystopian tale.
Oh, okay. So it's...
Revolutions. What is the final one?
Oh.
It is... Okay. Matrix Revolutions.
Matrix Revolutionary Road.
Matrix Revolutionary Road.
Yeah! I can't believe I got that! Okay, now I have confidence.
The last one. Just in time for us to wrap this up completely. a former assassin wakes from a coma and travels through time to various points of history, returning with important historical figures to help her complete her final history presentation and kill her ex-lover who attempted to kill her.
Oh.
Bill and Ted. And then I don't know what the other one is.
Wait, God, I mean, like, there was so many words there, I don't even feel like
those
I
are the
heard
only
all.
Three movies Keanu's been in, too. So,
Bill and Ted.
Can you read it one more time?
Well, I was going to do Constantina Turner's biography.
Oh, I love Constantine. That's good.
A former assassin wakes up from a coma and travels through time to various points of history, returning with important historical figures to help her complete the final history presentation and to kill her ex-lover.
Bill and Terminator? Bill and Ted's Terminator?
I can't remember the name. No, it's not it. Anyway, I'm thinking of the Michelle Pfeiffer movie where she's a teacher. That's not it.
Wait, what's the name of that one?
Oh, it's...
It's not that one.
Oh, God. I don't have it.
The other half is a Tarantino movie.
Oh. Oh, Kill Bill and Ted.
Kill Bill and Ted's Excellent
Shit.
Adventure.
God. I mean, I should be smarter than this.
With the music, we kind of hit a rhythm. All right, next game is IMDb Trivia. I will give you the trivia, some of the trivia from a movie on Internet Movie Database. And just so you know, this is the last movie I watched. Was it in theaters? Was it on television? Who knows? I do.
What year was it? We don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's been years since I've seen a movie. So I'm going to give you IMDb trivia, and it will get a little bit easier as it goes along. So it starts pretty obscure, and it gets a little bit easier. But it's all one movie. When he was called and offered the lead role, the star thought the call was a prank and did not believe the caller was who they said they were. The lead actor's wife convinced him to take the part. He did not want to do it.
So he's married.
Clint Eastwood turned down a different main role in the movie. Steven Spielberg considered directing the film, but chose to simply be the executive producer. All right, now they're going to start getting weirdly specific. Now they start getting more and more specific.
Ryan's falling apart over here.
I have so much anxiety about this.
You kind of sound like you're worried about Steven Spielberg.
I just had such high hopes for who I would be as a grown man, and this is not the living example.
The American Humane Society made sure no animals were harmed during filming and even went so far to count all of the roaches to make sure none
were
missing.
We bought a zoo.
No.
Man, it better not be Men in Black.
It's Men in Black.
The first one?
Yeah.
More sugar.
Yeah. It's Men in
how
Black.
How did the Humane Society?
They were worried about him stomping on roaches at the end.
Oh.
And so he stomped on.
He's like, is this your brother?
You know what? I'm glad to know that roaches got a little bit of protection.
So
out there.
Apparently Steven Spielberg called Will Smith to offer him the role, and Will Smith was like hanging up because he thought he was getting pranked over and over again, was just hanging up on Will Smith or hanging up on Steven Spielberg. Here's the rest of Men in Black. One actor, he researched his role as the bug guy by watching nature documentaries to get movement sound, and he wore multiple knee braces on both legs. The site Bad Astronomy, famed for bashing science fiction movies about their blunders, praised this movie for being surprisingly accurate.
Was it the National Enquirer has the truth part of it?
I think
that
it was like
so
just the way they reference space, probably. They really only talk. The only real space stuff is when they're like, Orion's belt
on
has three stars.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
So that place is like, these guys are onto something. John Landis was offered the chance to direct but declined because he said this sounds like Blues Brothers with aliens, and he's since said he regrets that very much so.
He
directed Blues Brothers.
Yeah, the who did direct
totally
it? Who was the director?
Movie.
Barry Sonnenfeld, the guy who wrote it. And then this is the last one. The following people played known aliens visible on screen: Al Roker, Danny DeVito, director Barry Sonnenfeld, Chloe Sonnenfeld, his daughter, Sylvester Stallone, Newt Gingrich, Anthony Robbins, George Lucas, and Steven Spielberg all were in makeup as aliens.
Weird.
Oh, wow. Isn't that the movie, too, that had, like, weren't they portraying famous people as
all
aliens?
All were, like, references. Those people are aliens in the real world on their little screen. And so that's man.
Which gave, like, credit to, like, David Icke and, like, there's reptilians in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is.
That movie is what gave him all the credit he needed.
Yeah, yeah. And so now Alex Jones is here.
How did that guy not win, the sugar guy, the cockroach guy? He should have won.
Yeah, I cannot
remember
his name.
That role was amazing.
He was incredible.
That was like the best cockroach I've ever seen, to be honest.
I think lots of times, that's not
and
anything.
I've seen Joe's Apartment.
But they're never. No one's ever going to get any credit for a role like that that's always the best. It's always the best. Because you should be able. You should win whatever awards are applicable if no one else could do it. And no one else would have done that well or like that.
Yeah.
But how hard is it to just play some famous person? There's tons of footage of them. Is it that hard to be Abe Lincoln? We know what he looks like.
Yeah,
exactly. We all have him at our house. It's not that hard to be Abe. I don't think Daniel Day-Lewis could have played this bug.
Wait, we all have Abe Lincoln at our house?
Are you talking about money?
Yeah, pennies.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I don't even have pennies.
I thought we all had, like, I was like, wait, what do you have in your house?
That's just
that
a metaphor for having
us.
Truthfulness at home. Or also 1 cent. All right, guys, last game before the last game. What would we call this? The Keyboard Ultimate Game. I didn't write them down. I used a keyboard. This is literal titles. Movie and television shows are taken as literally as possible. Because Penultimate did
it.
Okay.
I got it.
You get it, I don't know.
I got that. It took me a second.
I'm going to be honest.
It took me a second to get it.
I still don't get it.
I'm going to hold up a little. I'm going to give everyone a sign that says, I understand the pun. And you can hold up like Wile E. Coyote saying help or something. And then I'll just do this
every time I get it.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep staring at you.
That's fine as well. This is the longest into a podcast we've gone before it fell apart and became making fun of me for the games.
Well, no, I'm not making fun of you. I was just like, we were riffing about how you. No, I'm backtracking. I just want you to feel like the Keyboard Ultimate is very, I mean, it's very clever. I liked it.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
It is.
Promise me it is.
I promise. Boy Scouts honor.
Why are you holding up two fingers apart? That's the peace sign.
It's been a lot of years since I've been in the Scouts.
It's not the peace sign.
That's Scouts honor. I swear to God. Give me Martha Stewart's cookbook. I'll swear on it.
Literal titles. Movie and television show titles are taken as literally as possible. So, and I rewrite and I'll read you the plot. So that's how you. The example will be a large gregarious water bird shops for new undergarments, and that is the Pelican Brief.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We understand all the elements of this game here. The theme to this one is there's numbers in all the titles.
I got to remember that part. I got to remember the clues.
Numbers.
That was actually not even a purposeful theme. I just noticed.
All right,
so here's the first plot. The 2048th sequel in a movie series about racing knives.
Oh, it's...
Racing knives?
It's... Blade Runner 2049.
Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, wow. That's already out?
Yeah.
Wait, that's a real movie? This next game, I make up a movie and the title, and you have to guess the completely
title. I just saw that movie. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah,
I really
did. They're too long.
It.
These movies are too long.
No, not long enough. Let me escape my life as long as possible.
Just watch two of them, then.
Make them
some of us
got
to get back
long.
To our lives.
But this is coming from the guy who's going to make the podcast meant for being slowed down. Or being sped up.
I've never had a problem with long movies, unless, I don't know. But you got to pee a lot, you know?
Oh, that's an issue.
Yeah, yeah. He's over here chugging, you know. I don't want to go into what you were...
Five-hour energies.
I didn't want to put you on our front street.
That's the time for self-censorship in the entire podcast. Yeah.
It's actually a problem. People have accused me of having a coke problem on dates. I've never done cocaine.
Because you go to the bathroom
often? All the time.
Do you go there to... Oh, you don't go
and
there
I'm,
to do cocaine.
I'm probably all hopped up on 5 hours, so I probably come back all
buzzed.
You're
getting juiced up.
I've
peed my pants on the
date. Do you drink it or do you snort the five-hour energy drink?
I stick it up my butt.
Oh. Well, that's not a problem,
cake sits?
Then.
Remember
what
those kids were doing? When the kids were bonging vodka and stuff into their butts.
It's called keg sitting?
I was like, well, I guess they're keg sitting.
I think you call it keg sitting.
I call it keg sitting.
That's just when your parents leave and ask you to watch the baby keg.
Yeah.
Well, we called those party balls.
What?
You ever have a Coors Light party ball? I'm not that old.
No, a party ball?
Yeah, you could buy a party ball. It was like a mini keg. It was like a baby keg.
Oh, like the Heineken
still have
them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Coors Light party balls.
Yeah. You call the Heineken ones Coors Light party balls?
Yeah, you sure do.
Wow.
It's kind of like how Coke became everything.
See, I didn't drink
soda.
So when I drink beer,
we got a photo of the Coors Light.
Oh,
that looks like an ad for Mad Men.
That's a party in a ball. And I'll tell you what, man.
It's like a chemistry set.
Man, in high school, we'd get a party ball. That's when you knew like things were popping off.
It looks like what you would see when you finally noticed the Muppets were very adult and had been drinking the entire time or something like that. Like, is Beaker drinking from a Coors Light party ball?
So you sit on that nozzle up top. And then you roll over, and the water goes in, or you suck the water up.
You don't even sit on the part the beer comes out of. You just sit on the nozzle sticking up.
No, you sit on the... No.
It's incredible how poorly this is going to translate to just people listening.
Yeah, no, we don't need to talk about
it
anymore.
I meant about the whole show.
We've got it.
So look up
for it.
Look up Coors... What did you Google Coors Light Party Ball for this?
Yeah.
Looks like it.
Yeah. And look that up.
Convenience, portability, refreshment. I mean, it's got it all.
You can tell it's super simple by how there's only 400 lines of tiny text explaining how to use it all over the
app. Yeah, I mean, it's just a mini keg you can carry around.
Coors Light Barty Ball. Party Ball.
Yeah.
Did I say Barty Ball?
You said Party Ball.
Wow.
Like you were Monloing.
All right. Literal titles. So we got one, Blade Runner 2049. Here's the next one. A movie about the life of a dozen primates.
A movie about the life of a dozen primates. 13 monkeys.
How many do you think a dozen is?
That's a baker's dozen.
You are so serious.
I'm so hopped up on donuts the other day.
Man.
I bought a dozen donuts.
You get
13.
You don't get the Coors Light party dozen. That's when you get 13 beers. And it's actually one big beer and then 12 ducks stuck in the six pack rings.
Can I tell you a secret?
You are so serious.
I'm spending a lot of time at my local bakery. I don't have to talk about that. But I'll tell you this. 12 Monkeys is the name
You
of
put
the movie.
13 monkeys in a room, eventually they're going to write a movie.
I was like, yeah, he's right, it's 13 monkeys.
Yeah, I know, and you didn't do anything.
You say it with confidence.
I felt like I was having a tiny little stroke because you guys both behaved so confidently. When you, 13 monkeys, and then
it's
Ryan's
a Ryan
like,
yeah, thing. It's a Ryan
I was also,
thing.
I just kind of happened, like automatic, like
onto
I, automatic speaking, like I channeled.
Onto, I get it.
I didn't think I could get it that quickly, and
yeah,
I didn't, it
yeah,
turned out.
Yeah, that's the bigger part. I was just so blown away how quick I definitely got it that we all sat and how I hadn't got it at all.
It's the self-sabotage I've been doing my whole life.
13 Monkeys would be a before and afters about teenage monkeys dealing with suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
That would be 13. All right, last one. This one is so bad.
I'll probably love it.
Someone has no idea how long seasons last, so they spend nearly a year and a half going to the beach, and they even forgot to go back to school.
I think it's the I know
Cast Away.
No, it's a numbers thing. So I want to say it's another 9 weeks, but that's not it. It's
540 days
something
of summer.
18.
It's
something
500
18.
Days of summer.
Oh fuck!
Why did I say 42? 542.
I don't know.
So it's
like, did you do the math that quickly that you nailed? Like,
but
what
all
exactly
I said
a year
was
and a half
nearly
is?
A year and a half.
Nearly a year and a half. 500 days of summer.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. I just knew you said summer, and it's. you know, it just reminded me of...
How much do you think 500 is? All right.
So like 13 times...
Well, we did better on that than I thought, I would do.
We did better on that than I thought I would do.
Well, we're all connected. Every photo is a selfie, so every answer is mine. Right?
How did you read my tattoo from over there? Okay, last game. This is a new game. We played it one time to mixed reviews. I have combined the audio from three movies. I just laid them all on top of each other. It's going to play at the same time, and you just have to guess what three movies it is. I tried to even out the volume, but it's not going to be great.
It's not a mashup name of the three movies. It's just you name the three movies.
Audio from three movies at once are playing. You guess what three they are. You can just call them out when you know that
the
one.
The entire audio of the movie?
No, it's just a scene, a famous scene. It's an hour and 40. It was hard to find three movies exactly the same length. All right, so here we go. This is three tracks.
We're not going anywhere. Consider
then you have moment. Sentenced us to death.
The world, then so be it.
Gibson. You can't do that.
I am a king. I can do whatever I want.
If you were King Mufasa,
I'm 10 times a king.
The Lion King is one of them.
Lion King is one. Lion King is one.
Mufasa.
Has a wrath of another thing to you to create this animosity you feel toward him?
Oh, and then it's the Nazi one.
To bite people.
Rats were the cause of the bubonic plague.
Inglorious Bastards.
Inglorious Bastards is another one. We have one more.
A rat could spread. A squirrel could eat.
Here's the goat.
The bubonic plague. Oh,
Jurassic Park. Park.
That's like, I could only hear two of them.
Yeah, the Jurassic Park was
that
the
came in when she said, "What's the goat?"
Where all you heard was the water vibrating.
And oh, okay.
You saw the water vibrating with the T-Rex walking up.
You put a visual audio.
Yeah, yeah. You guys weren't watching the WAV file? yeah.
I get it.
There okay, that's an interesting exercise in like trying to separate listening.
Yeah, it was fun to watch how you differently behaved differently.
I tried to close my eyes.
You touched the sides of your headphones.
Yeah, well, because
it was coming out of one out of the other.
And then he all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you got Lion King.
I was helping.
But he said Mufasa, that kind of.
No, I got it before Mufasa. I'd like, for the record,
He got it when he said, "I'm the one true king."
Yeah.
Oh. It was tough to find a clip from Lion King that didn't break out in song.
Because, like, the Lion King is very, in a self... self-referential a lot, like "We're the Lion King." You know, it's a lot of like the dialogue.
Yeah, my favorite song from Lion King is "We're the Lion King." And we're to dance. We're
like
kings
and we like lions because we are them both.
Roar, look, adore. Bye. Yeah, the songs. Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna actually play a fan script. Read a fan script right now, you guys. If you want to write a quick little script and send it to us, it is neverseenitshow@gmail.com. neverseenitshow@gmail.com. You can send it to us. We may read it here on the air. We've been getting a bunch of them, and just from the titles of them, I've been really digging it. And so we actually don't know which one we're gonna do. Our producer just picked one out of all the scripts and gave it to us, and so we're going to flip it over and read a random fan script right now. And so the one we are doing is...
Oh, my God.
Dirty Dancing, as never seen by Robert Schley. I hope
that's
I get the last name pronounced.
That's a tight name.
Robert, that is a good name. This is Dirty Dancing.
You know this dude,
and
Schley's
I think
in the
it's
sack.
Even got the cast up top, right? It's got me reading stage directions.
Yeah, I will be reading Baby.
I got Patrick Swayze, babe.
All right. So this is Dirty Dancing by Robert Schley. Exterior. Hoity-toity ballet school campus. Day. Baby. This is already really... Baby, hopefully the age of consent, exits her ballet classroom wearing the cleanest tutu you've ever seen. She waves goodbye to her classmates and immediately notices Patrick Swayze, I want to say mid-30s, a working-class man covered in dirt. He's so dirty that Pigpen from the Peanuts would do a double take. He's working/dancing in the campus garden. He's rhythmically rubbing dirt all over his chest and grinding up all on a bag of manure. Baby stares at him, half-attracted, half-disgusted, and bites her lip. She timidly approaches Patrick Swayze, who's leaning back in a chair and dumping a bucket of mud all over himself a la Flashdance, which I also haven't seen.
Where'd you learn to dance like that?
I taught myself, actually.
That's a bold Swayze take.
Not a bad way to spend a workday.
Perhaps, but you look and smell like shit.
Only on the outside.
Baby smirks. This dirty man, so far below her station and so far above her age, is worming his way into her heart.
What's your name?
Placeholder. What's yours?
Baby.
Your name's Baby? B-A-B-Y, Baby?
This is a scene from Baby Driver.
My parents were very short-sighted.
Who's Baby's father?
I'll be Baby's father. Who are you calling short-sighted? We see Baby's father, the shortest man in the world, standing behind Baby with his arms crossed over his tuxedo. Baby, I'm not paying your billion-dollar ballet tuition for this. You know the punishment for associating with such a dirty dancer. He points to the corner of outside. Now get in that corner, yo. I was like, what does he mean? Now get in that corner, young lady, or I'll put you there myself.
Hey, nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Oh, we'll see about that. Baby's father runs at Baby as fast as his tiny little legs can take. Baby runs from her father toward Patrick Swayze and jumps in the air.
Catch me!
Patrick Swayze catches her by the waist and holds her above his head. Dirty, dirty dancing style. That would be so funny if they wrote it in the script. Dirty dancing style. Baby's father jumps up and down, desperately trying to reach his daughter. Let me at her! Let me at her!
Na 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 boo boo! You can't catch me!
Either a Whitney Houston or a Tina Turner song plays as Patrick Swayze carries Baby off towards the sunset, never to be seen by her family again.
Na 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 boo boo.
Yeah, how did you say it?
I didn't read it.
Na 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 It sounds like the beginning of a Destiny's Child song.
Yeah, it's like na 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 boo boo. It reminds me of shit.
Yeah. It was really spot on for that.
Take la 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 boom delay. I'll take your pants away, and while you're standing there, I'll take your underwear. We've all heard that as a kid.
Yeah, the thing we're all familiar with.
I just heard it for the first time.
I have no idea what it is either.
No. Na na la boom delay. Is this I'll take your pants away.
Is this one of those voices singing to you?
This is
about
a thing. This is like an old kid song thing.
Yeah, no, the song we all know.
No, la 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 boom delay.
It's la 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 boom delay.
Let's do it one more.
I swear, you're gonna get like 50 emails saying like, I know la 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 boom delay.
Okay,
it's an old like German like kids song thing.
All right, if you ta ra ra boom delay,
ta ra ra boom delay.
There's 7 total letters in it, and I think you're about 60%, which isn't bad.
Hey, a kid's memory, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a kid's memory.
A kid's memory. I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
That looks fun.
I'll take your pants away. Yeah, it's a weird song to be singing
to a kid. I'm starting to think those aren't the lyrics now that it's tra-la-la. Tra-ra-ra?
Ta-ra-ra. Boom.
It's actually starring an actress named Tara Raboom-Dere. It's Ava DuVernay's stepsister, Tara Raboom-Dere.
See, there's the words. There's sheet music to this. Actually, hand me that xylophone. I know I can read sheet music for a xylophone.
Okay, really? so you...
No, I can't.
I can't even read that sheet music. Just read it. It's so far away. It's on the tiny screen. So if you guys... thanks again to Robert for his dirty dancing script.
Is Baby
in the Corner just a different movie, or is it that movie?
No, that's that movie.
That's that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
The dance.
They get put in a corner? Somebody gets put in a corner?
He's such a dirty dancer.
He says nobody put Baby in a corner. That's like a famous Swayze line.
That's the famous line from that movie.
And he dances. Yeah.
And then they dance and they hold him up.
You've never seen that movie either?
Probably not.
I've seen that movie so many times. I owned one of the first vinyls I ever bought as a young kid, mm-hmm. was the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Yeah. And it's funny, every day there's a Dirty Dancing moment in my life.
I think I read something about how soundtracks are all the top selling things.
I mean,
that one was at the time number one record.
I bought it again. I had lost it. And then as a grown-up, I don't know, 10 years ago, I had repurchased the vinyl.
Let me ask you guys a question, a little think question here that has nothing to do, but a little bit to it. How many people do you think are going to buy the album Thriller today?
I'd probably say about 17 people.
17 people?
In California.
Like the vinyl? Or like, are we talking...
Like any medium. How many people do you think buy the album Thriller today?
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
No, I'd say maybe 50 people worldwide buy it today.
No, because there could be like somebody buying in bulk for some sort of skit or something.
You're like that? Like,
Oh, man. Can someone get Super Deluxe on the phone? Yeah. I need 800 copies of Thriller to blow up for a skit.
Yeah. I got a little skit I'm working on.
There is, like, but that Dirty Dancing, that might be one of the first movies where the star of the movie had a song in the soundtrack.
Did he sing it?
Oh, he, She's Like the Wind is a Swayze song.
Wow.
Or no, wait. Yeah. She's like,
I just like how sometimes you say something so confidently and then mentally fact check yourself on it right afterwards.
Well, I haven't talked about this in a while.
Yeah,
but like,
he definitely had a song on it.
No, it was She's Like the Wind. Mm-hmm. Is Swayze sings that song. And then, like, I mean, would you have Wild Wild West starring Will Smith years later?
No.
If Swayze didn't do She's Like the Wind and
Dirty
Dancing?
There's a Will comedian would find a way. His name's Dan Friesen, and he lived in Chicago, and I was friends with him in college, and he had a whole series of sketches that he wrote that was all about Barry Sonnenfeld, the writer of Wild Wild West and Men in Black. It was all about him sitting Will Smith down to tell him to stop ruining the plot to the movies and the soundtracks. And I thought it was the funniest thing. We would sometimes do reads of him at shows and stuff.
Yeah, he's basically doing 3-minute versions
like,
of the movie.
Stop. Please, like, and then Will Smith would be like, what do you mean? He's like, the lyrics to Wild Wild West are like, you talk about killing the man at the end and like saving and you give away who the main character actually is and stuff. And he's like, you got to stop doing that, Will. And he's like, I'm not going to.
That's really funny. And so like funny. His music videos were always like 3.5-minute versions of the movie as well.
Yeah,
but they always played after the credits, right?
No, but the song would come out to promote the movie.
Promote the movie, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And then there was, we talked about this on a different episode, but Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, those guys, George Clooney wanted to do all of the singing. And he took all of these singing lessons leading up to it. And he tried. And then he sang once and they hired someone else to do all the singing. And now he just lip syncs.
Oh, wow. I mean, well, he comes from it, too.
Swayze.
Like his aunt.
Yeah. She's a singer?
Mm-hmm.
She was Robert Johnson. Sold her soul to the devil.
Yeah, at the Crossroads. Yeah. Which is actually a fun little teenage, you know, Christian
Wasteland.
Club you can go hang out at on weekends.
Crossroads?
All ages.
Isn't that a thrift store?
No, that's actually it. It's a thrift store. I get those confused. There's a lot of things discarded.
That's because you're both exchanging, you know?
Yeah. There's
a lot of teens do hang out down there, though.
Okay. Last moment of the whole podcast. We're going to revisit Dad. Kyle's dad describes a movie based off only having seen the movie trailer and never actually having heard of the movie. And we remember something about a gun that needed a silencer. And so if you think you know it, hold off till the end and then we'll guess.
Okay. So the gun was actually pretty loud. That's not a silencer. This guy is freaking out like he's on drugs. So one side of his brain is going to go against the other side. This all looks like a trip. I think this takes place in the future. This is a cartoon, but that guy has pit stains. That is accurate. I think it's a cartoon.
I think it's a cartoon.
You think it's a cartoon?
Why do you not know?
I don't know. The uptick on the end was pretty incredible.
I thought I was like,
you think
it's
a cartoon.
Down.
You know it's a cartoon or you don't know it's a cartoon.
CGI's
actually,
unless it's, unless it's the movie Aeon Flux.
It's not, but I thought you were going to say it when you had that epiphany, because that's the epiphany you would have had right before you said the name of this movie.
Roger Rabbit.
No.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, yes. No. I didn't give it to you for Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I thought maybe technically I was... it's definitely not Osmosis Jones,
it's
even though I want to say
Osmosis
that.
Osmosis Jones.
Because they use silencers.
Well, because there's live action and cartoon in that
Because they use silencers, yeah.
What is it? Now it's making it harder because you said we should know after that epiphany.
No, I was saying that's the type of epiphany you would have
two
before
sides,
saying that movie.
The brain's against each other. Two sides of the brain against each other. A cartoon. So it's got live action and cartoon in it
you
is what I'm taking
from
it. Yes, I do.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Schnip.
Oh, it's Scanner Darkly.
It's a Scanner Darkly.
Yeah. That's it.
That'll make
that's
it
the
epiphany.
One. That's
What's
the one.
The gun, though?
Scanner Darkly is the movie that was animated over top of the film, right?
Yeah.
That's I said Aeon Flux, even though it should have been Scanner. I should have.
Right.
That's
it was the
I
exact epiphany. You're
I meant that,
have.
So we can. Yeah.
You can edit it in post and say.
Yeah, we can just say Scanner Darkly.
To your voice saying a Scanner Darkly, where I was like, oh,
I've never seen that
Scanner
movie.
Scanner Darkly.
That's another movie I haven't seen. I have no idea what that movie's
about. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
It's good.
All right.
I'm a Keanu fan, though.
Yeah, so you like the movie about Keanu saving
Keanu.
A cat?
I do like that, yeah.
Keanu's great.
All right, guys, that's it. Thanks for coming on the show. A couple of Ryans.
This is perfect because I have to pee again.
Thank you guys so much for coming. If you guys, I appreciate it. And if you guys are listening at home, please subscribe and rate and review and all that. It really helps out the show. Here we are back into that like voice I had at the beginning again. And
please email Kyle that you email if you know La La Boom Delay.
If you know, or if you've heard of Tarara Boom Delay, or My Airplane Got Delayed, or any of them, email and let us know. And send us emails at neverseenitshow@gmail.com if you have scripts. Thank you guys so much. Please tell your friends about the podcast. We appreciate it. Have a good day. I think that's everything.
I think so. I love you, Keanu.
He is great. And so is the movie. That was a good movie, too.
I gave kisses to Keanu. That was weird.
That was a good movie. The cat one, the Key and Peele.
Is there anything that you guys want to plug?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll plug my website.
I want to go plug my wiener into that urinal real quick.
You're going to put your wiener
into the
urinal?
I don't know how to pee.
Oh, please tell me that is good.
But Kyle, can we edit in just the thing at the end where Ryan and Ryan plug their social medias or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. Should I wait?
No, go for it.
I think this is...
Brendan and I were fucking dying during the script. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it's weird because like
before I forget, I want to show you this. I meant to text it to you.
I
last
couldn't
night.
Really hear them through like for some reason. I think my headphones were weird.
Oh shit!
Like the volume or something. Yeah. But like I would hear some stuff, but then like so it was like kind of I felt like it was throwing me off a little bit. But I think it was fine.
You got this guy was under the
it wasn't plugged. That's why
I was like half in, half out. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Kyle was
just now I hear you fine. It's weird. Okay.
At this guy. Listen to this announcer last night during the Rockets Spurs game.
What does second cousins mean?
Just wait.
Jeff Van Gundy.
I don't want to go into it.
Dude, it's. He starts.
What is that? That was all she said?
What the fuck were they doing? It was literally out of nowhere.
Have you heard that? There's this one, I want to say like Instagram personality or something like that, who does these amazing like sports announcements on top of games that is just snarky and foul mouthed. And he's like, oh man, and he's got the perfect voice for it. He really sounds like a sportscaster. And he's like, oh, and he really fucks it up this time.
Oh, wait, I think I've seen like a football one. Yeah.
Is there anything that you actually wanted to edit out?
Is there anything we need to do?
No.
Edit out?
This. Yeah.
I don't care.
Maybe we should just cut out the little person midget thing to save you potentially an email or
Two. That's fine.
And then that'll be it.
Yeah.
Well, they can't reach keyboards to send emails.
Hey! This is on time.
How we doing, everyone? Thanks for coming out.
We'll stitch those two things together.
But that was a crazy thing. You haven't seen it. They literally throw a little person at a target to start the whole movie. And I always think, like, the casting call is so pigeonholed for that. Because that's an actor.
Yeah.
Who wants to be taken seriously.
And a slash stunt man.
Think about the little person actor who's taken the most seriously is Peter Dinklage, and he's never been in anything ever where it didn't come up.
Yeah.
But then also, would it be realistic for it to not come up?
You want to do it?
It depends. It's like a weird fantasy.
Is just ask, is there anything you guys want to plug? And we can edit out, edit around the outro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
This one, I think, is coming out late September.
Wait, that's like...
We're taking a break.
Late September? Like how late?
Like 8 p.m.
I think we're going.
Like...
I've got a show the 28th and 29th.
Of September?
Yeah.
You want to plug those shows? This actually comes out the night of the 29th.
Come out tonight.
Before we go on, is there anything you guys want to plug? Let people know where to find you.
Yeah, I'd love to plug my website, ryansingercomedy.com, Instagram, Rysing, Twitter, Rysing, R-Y-S-I-N-G. And also, if you're into paranormal stuff, I interview people with paranormal experiences or abilities on my podcast, Me and Paranormal You. It's available everywhere.
I told you about a ghost hunt that I went on.
Yeah, you are on. Yeah, that's a crazy, that is like a really, I've got message. I mean, that's an intense ghost story that you've shared.
Yeah. And Ryan County.
I'll also check that out. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram. Instagram is at RYAM, C-O-W-N-I-E, Ryan County. I've got an album coming out with Stand Up Records, debut, so it's whatever. Coming out, it's coming out in maybe
how many people do you think today bought that album? Thriller. I'm still talking about Thriller.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
So that's it, you know, and just, you know, be yourself.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a good show.